Two rounds of elections were held in Hungary this month, and the results were an overwhelming victory for the country's conservatives. The center-right party Fidesz ousted the ruling socialist government, and what's more, an extreme far-right party also made an impressive showing at the polls. All of this makes Hungary the next stop on our ongoing backstory series that looks at how post-communist countries have fared over the past two decades. We are joined now by journalist and political analyst Paul Hakanos. He has lived in Central Europe for 20 years, returned from Hungary just recently. His most recent book is called Joschka Fischer and the Making of the Berlin Republic. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. What does the name Fidesz mean in Hungarian?
Hello.
Is he not hearing me? We're talking to Mr. Hakanos in Berlin. Do you hear me, Mr. Hakanos? I guess not. Should we take a little break and try to fix that up? I always thought that phone lines to Berlin were better than phone lines to some other parts of the world.
This is Paul Hakanos. Is anyone listening to me?
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay, good. So I just said that the party Fidesz had an impressive victory, and I was wondering what their name Fidesz means in Hungarian.
Well, it's the Alliance of Young Democrats. It was a party that was formed in the late 1980s and was part of the democratic opposition to communism. They played a very important role in overcoming and fighting the communists and bringing about a democratic transition in Hungary over 20 years ago.
It won 68% of the vote and will control 263 of the 386 seats in the Hungarian parliament. Can this election be seen as a major shift in Hungarian politics?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, this is the biggest shift in Hungarian politics since the transition from communism to democracy. It's absolutely huge. I mean, there are very few parliamentary democracies where you have multiple parties, where a single party gets a supermajority. I mean, nearly 70% of all seats in the parliament. So this party can rule without a coalition partner. It can rule alone. It will basically be able to pass all legislation that it wants at will, and even to alter the constitution, which it says it intends to do. So this is a huge shift in politics, and it's a huge, really, puts up lots of question marks for what's happening not only in Hungary, but in the region, where other populist parties, right-wing populists, left-wing populists, different stripes, have come to power from the Baltics all the way down through the Balkans.
How long had the Socialist Party been in power?
They've been in power for 8 years and had largely been discredited by an economic policy that didn't really go anywhere, and then came the economic crisis, and also corruption, which was rampant. Transparency International, which ranks countries according to corruption, gave Hungary a very bad ranking, and this is one of the reasons for the socialists' defeat. But it wasn't only the socialists who were defeated. I mean, it's striking that in the Hungarian political landscape, I mean, there wasn't a solid liberal democratic party to stand up for the values that were supposedly those of the revolution 20 years ago. On the one side, you've got right-wing populists and a far right. On the other side, you've got reform communists who, you know, they call themselves social democrats, but their politics still very much bears the kind of authoritarian pedigree of the communist parties. And so, I mean, there was one kind of upstart greenish liberal party that got 7% of the vote. I mean, this is a very small, tiny democratic middle, you know, for a country that had been, that really had led the way of the democratic revolutions in 1989 and 1990. It was way out in front of all of its peers at that time. Hungary had started to put democratic mechanisms into place even in the late, throughout the 1990s. 1980s, and economically as well. It was never so centralized, top-down economy as the other countries were. It was called, jokingly, the cheeriest barracks in Eastern Europe, and therefore it really got a jump on places like Poland and the Baltics and Romania. But now the contrary seems to be happening, and it seems to be the laggard, at least when it comes to democratic norms.
Well, hasn't Fidesz and its head, Viktor Orban, gone through a number of ideological shifts over the years?
Well, they have indeed, and that's one of the questions. I mean, what are they going to do? And it's very characteristic of these kind of populist parties that are really popular throughout the region. They take left-wing stands, they take right-wing stands, they shift with the political winds, and Fidesz and Viktor Orban have done that very successfully. They use one demagoguery against the European Union or against capitalism. Then when they come to power, they have no choice but to go along with the European Union and often pursue the same kind of economic policies that their predecessors had. And this is exactly the kind of populist party which has been successful in other places as well, in Poland, in Slovakia, for example. And it's very dangerous in that they use different kinds of demagoguery to come to power. They divide the electorate and they say, okay, you know, we've got all the people who are basically with us, the party, and against the ruling elite, whoever that may be. A lot of these populists have used anti-European Union slogans to come to power. And as I said, once they come to power, there's not much they can do. But it's a situation which I think has to send up some red flags in Brussels.
Well, how much of this is a reaction to the growing popularity of Jobbik, the far-right party, which won 47 seats in parliament? Haven't they been criticized for stirring up anti-Semitism and anger toward Hungary's large Roma population?
Yeah, they most certainly have. I mean, that's another much more disturbing event. Full 17% of Hungarians voted for a party which is neo-fascist. I mean, it's an anti-Semitic, it's an anti-Gypsy party. It has a paramilitary arm that marches around in neo-Nazi uniforms. And even more disturbing than the fact that 17% of Hungarians voted for this party is that nearly a quarter of young people between 18 and 29 years of age, voted for this party, including educated people in the smaller cities across Hungary, as well also as undereducated people in places where some of the big factory towns where the factories have closed and there's large scale unemployment. So you've got different currents kind of feeding into this phenomenon of Jobbik, but it's extraordinarily disturbing that if this is really telling us that a quarter of Hungarian young people, I mean, a generation that never really knew communism, that's polyglot, that speaks beautiful English, that's internet savvy, that's supposed to lead Hungary into the middle of this century and beyond, you know, doesn't believe in democracy. If this is what it's telling us, and this is a very disturbing development.
Well, wasn't part of the Fidesz platform focused on law and order, which I assume is a code word for dealing with the gypsies?
You're right. It was in terms of the it wasn't nearly it wasn't the Fidesz didn't say it nearly explicitly as Jobbik, the far right party, did. But when it comes to, there's a huge problem with poverty and social exclusion and even the segregation in schools of Gypsy or Roma people, and Fidesz's solution is police protection, public protection, which meant the hiring of an extra 10,000 police officers to deal with this problem. It's much more explicit. The anti-Gypsy sentiment is much more explicit in the far right. and is appeals to a lot of people because the situation with the Roma people has only gotten worse over the last 20 years. The Roma people are among the losers of the transitions. They were people who had low-scale jobs in some of the communist-run factories that went bust and became unemployed. So the unemployment of Roma is two or three times what it is in the average Hungarian.
Well, there's a fairly large Roma population. What about Jews? Jobbik is, as we said, anti-Semitic. Some members have been calling Budapest Judapest. Are there that many Jews in Budapest?
Actually, Hungary does have one of the largest Jewish populations in Central Europe. And of course, it's extraordinarily disturbing that a party that does this can get any votes at all, much less 17% of the vote. I have to say, however, that it wasn't primarily in this vote. It was neither primarily anti-Semitism or the anti-Gypsy sentiment that won the far right vote. It was an attack against the ruling elite. It was an attack against the powers that be. It was a disillusionment with the present democracy. It was a disillusionment with the free market. It was a disillusionment with everything. And, you know, in the past, and where you would have had this kind of this deep disenchantment, I mean, you could imagine that it would be fertile soil for a left-wing alternative, for social democrats, for greens, or you think about in the 1960s and the student movements that swept Western Europe. But none of these are really available in a place like Hungary. And the only place that these young people, so disenchanted as they are, see to go, I guess, is to the far right. That's what they've done.
Now, Hungary is set to take over the EU presidency in 2011, but Fidesz has campaigned against the EU. So what's going to happen then?
It's not going to be any problem at all. They're going to fall in line just like the Poles did, just like the Slovaks did. As I said, populists, they'll take a line. I mean, the thing about the European Union is that the Hungarians, as all of the people in Central Europe who came into the European Union in 2004 and then again in 2007, other ones, you know, they were promised a lot. Their politicians who represented their countries to the European Union, they had to undergo a lot of really difficult transitional changes. And so they promised their people a lot. And even though things are better now, even though I think at least, it's extremely important for these countries to be part of the European Union, and that eventually, and even since then, they have benefited in many different ways, they're nevertheless, they're disappointed. And that's what this vote shows.
Well, Paul, we have very little time, but I want to follow up on this. According to a report in Bloomberg Businessweek yesterday, Bulgaria, Romania, and Hungary are the Eastern European nations who are most exposed to contagion from the Greek debt crisis.
The Hungarian economy was one of the first to show these kinds of weaknesses, and it's hit particularly hard by the crisis, and that the reaction has been this right-wing lurch in the vote.
And 11% unemployment is something that parties really can take advantage of. I want to thank you so much for talking with us. I've been speaking with journalist and political analyst Paul Hakanos. His most recent book is called Joschka Fischer and the Making of the Berlin Republic. And we've been talking about post-communist Hungary and its lurch to the right on today's Backstory segment. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.